This is John Walton, and you're listening to the Power Play Point Podcast with the Blue Liner on point and Anna Knox. Here's Wilson, and on the right side, and he scores!
Welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, talking to you live to tape from downtown Glen Burnie, Maryland. And it's a sunny day, but the wind is kind of blowing. Speaking of blowing, things blowing, how about those Pittsburgh Penguins? But we're not here to talk about them, thank God. It's a great week to be a Caps fan again. Two games we'll cover, and they won the both of them. Now, of course, we're mainly going to talk about the goings-on in the trade deadline, as was begun last week. And so, to that end, I have not one but two guests with me joining me to finish that up. And I'm a little out of voice, if you can hear, because I actually attended one of those two wins. Bear with me if you can. I'll try not to assault your ears too much. But joining me, of course, from the mighty Sacrooms Capitals Off the Chain podcast. First, as he's finishing up his tour of duty in examining the goings-on of the deadline as we begun last week, Mr. Marcus Richard Clarence Lemley, the one and only Sacroom himself.
Hola. Hola, sir. My friends. Hola.
Good sir, how are you this early evening?
A little down with the wind, but we just got done shopping, so ready to go for the podcast.
Nice, nice. And to act as a den mother slash referee slash hider of Girl Scout cookies, inside joke, sorry. Familiar voice to you. Yeah, to you all. Of course, it's C4, Cheryl Ann Forster joining us. Also, as well, to lend her analysis. C4, how you doing this evening?
Doing quite well, quite well. Had a lovely afternoon of, well, we went down to Clarksburg to the outlets to check those out. A little bit blustery today, but otherwise doing quite well.
A little bit. And blowing like the Penguins with a lead or without the lead, as I observed. Anyway, before we get on with things, be remiss if I did not mention that it is the one and only mermaid Anna Knox's birthday today. So wishing her a birthday over the interwaves. And as such, I have given her off this week as well. She should be back next week, barring any unforeseen delays or goings on. But again, happy birthday to you, mermaid. Thanks for all you do. Okay, so as I said, we're going to cover the two games that were played since Sunday. We covered the Coyotes game. That was more than a bit of a disappointment. But what wasn't a disappointment was the game they played 3 days later in Pittsburgh, as we mentioned. So let's go ahead and jump on to that. A rundown of the scoring summary. Tom Wilson breaks it open. Caps go on the penalty kill almost immediately, but Tom Wilson gets his 14th on the year. It's got to be at least his second or third shorthanded goal of the season, I'm pretty sure. Beck Malenstein on the assist, and that was a nice two-on-one play. And, yeah, pretty good tap in on the rebound by Mr. Wilson. And that was all the scoring in the first period. Second period, Alex Ovechkin on the power play. 30 seconds in, the bizarro McNugget minute goal. His 18th, Stroman Carlson on the assist on that one. And became a laugher after that. 2.5 minutes later, Nick Jensen, his first of the – Nick Jensen scored a goal. His first of the year. Beck Malenstein, his second assist of the game on that one at 3:16. 8:50, Hendrix LaPierre, his sixth of the year. Van Riemsdyk and Ovechkin on the assist on that one, making it 4-0. And the feature goal of the week, his first, hopefully, of many, many, many of his career, Ivan Miroshnichenko, his first career goal, assisted by Sonny Milano and Dylan Strome. And you know what? We're going to treat you all with a play-by-play of that one. Okay, so looks like Van Riemsdyk is on the half board, starts it. Sonny Milano does the yo-yo along the half boards, wraps it around. Strome recovers it behind, gets it to Miroshnichenko, who does a lovely, lovely deke and puts it around the pad of the hapless Pittsburgh goalie, which was Jari to start, but by then he'd been kicked out in favor of Nedeljkovic. And so it was him that was in the goal. And so, yes, Miroshnichenko tucks it in for his first of the season at 16:21. And Milano would add his ninth at 2:13 into the third. Alex Alexeyev and Strome on the assists on that one. Great game all around. Charlie Lindgren, not to be denied, not to be forgotten in this one, faced 39 shots, got them all, every single one of them. Faceoff dot, decent night for the Caps. They had the edge, 52%. Shots on goal, tailed off again. You don't want to see that, but they got the job done. I mean, I can excuse them for tailing off a bit in this one since, for crying out loud, they had a 5-goal lead in the last 20.
Let's just say the ones they took, they made them count.
Yeah. That's probably the best way of putting it. 15-9-5 going into the third, so the shot per period tally. So it tailed off, but again, they were winning it going away in a laugher. And always love when you get the pizza goals, always love that, but even sweeter when it comes at the expense of Pittsburgh, who, as I've mentioned before, they're falling apart like a well-cooked brisket.
I'm sorry to to interrupt you, but you're pronouncing it wrong, Gil. It's not Pittsburgh. It's Schittsburgh. Get it right. Come on.
Well, I was being polite. I'm aware of the proper pronunciation below the Mason-Dixon line, but I was trying to be polite. But if you Schittsburgers are listening, which I doubt you are, yeah, sorry, but you can suck it. We're laughing at this one all the way to the bank. And yeah, we're going to dine out on this one for a while.
Given up 11 goals or 10 goals in the last two games.
Yeah. Yeah. They were absolutely cold cocked today against Edmonton. I mean,
Boston.
Boston too. Yeah. Boston killed him last week or a few days ago as well.
Today. They killed him today. They played him today. No, was it today? Yeah, it was Boston today.
Pretty sure it was Edmonton today.
It was the big city green too. 4-0. Was it? Okay. So that's next week then. The big city green.
Yeah. But
that's stupid. That's stupid. That thing is so dumb. The Caps were part of it last year.
Yeah, I remember that. I actually like that. I thought it was kind of funny.
The Toy Story one for football was just as bad. I'm like, anything for Disney to get more viewers on their channel, I guess.
I mean, it gets kids into the game, so I'm down with that. I'm
yeah, okay with that. That, yeah. This game, I did tell you last week in the podcast. I said, don't be shocked if we completely thump Pittsburgh.
Wipe the floor.
Yeah.
Served an heaping helping of ass whooping. Yeah.
Took them to their mama's house and watched them watch their mama whip them with a belt.
Yeah. All of the above and more. And is it weird if I say that part of me is like, wow, it's really weird watching a team that, you know, you've gone back and forth with a lot over the years struggle so mightily?
Well, it's an end of an era for the team. I mean, we didn't say we want to talk about Pittsburgh, but it's an end of an era for both teams. But the thing is, the Capitals did the right thing last year by trading away guys for the future. Pittsburgh refused to do that, and they traded for players last year at the deadline. They went out and got, was it Raquel? I think it was either Raquel or they got someone. They got a couple players for the deadline to go for a push in the playoffs. But don't know, but they were in reaching distance to make the playoffs last year. But if they would have just accepted the losses and did exactly what Washington has done the last two seasons, they wouldn't be in this position. They traded up their first round pick for Erik Karlsson. For Erik Karlsson! It's top 10 protected. It's top 10 protected. So if they end up getting a top 10 pick, they can keep it. But it's still Erik Karlsson. You don't trade a first round pick for a guy that has one good season in the last 5 years.
Especially right? when you already have a Chris Letang. Look at us analyzing the freaking Penguins. But I mean, come on.
Exactly.
Who knows you better than your enemy? But yeah, I mean, come on. You've already got a guy that does everything he does and more, and for cheaper. Why do you go out and get the same thing?
He's having a bad season too, which is hilarious. So they traded their first round pick for a guy that has only scored one goal in the last 20 plus games.
Oh my God.
But that's like saying like the Capitals will go out and get, let's say, an aging player, Matt Dumba. Do what Tampa Bay just did. Go out and get Matt Dumba, but spend two first round picks to get him. Kyle Dubas is a moron, and I'm starting to think Toronto did the right thing by firing him.
I don't know if they fired him so much as they mutually agreed. It was a mutual agreement to part ways.
Let's be real. They said it was mutual, but he was the scapegoat. Let's be real.
I think it was one of those things where it was like, okay, well, we'll accept your resignation and allow you to leave, but yeah, we kind of don't want your services anymore. Might have been one of those things.
I feel like Kyle Dubas wanted to stay in Toronto, but Toronto wanted to use him as a scapegoat because Kyle Dubas did a fantastic job for the Maple Leafs. I mean, they haven't won a Stanley Cup, but I mean, they won their first playoff game, well, first playoff series in almost 19 years under him, and they beat a Tampa Bay team that went 3 years in a row to the Stanley Cup final.
So the moral of this story here is go to Schittsburg, lose about 150 IQ points. Apparently.
There you go.
Apparently,
that sounds about right.
Well, but yeah, we're not going to dwell on that game as much as I'd like to savor that win. And it was a great win, although it was personally, to start with, a bit frustrating as far as the viewing, because for some reason, a certain provider whose name rhymes with for lying. Horizon. Those people decided that the former Comcast Sportsnet Washington was no longer a channel that we were subscribed to, which is a lie. I figured it was a technical issue, didn't turn out to be a technical issue, so apparently we gotta speak with a representative and straighten that out. But we were able to watch the game through the Monumental app, About the only time I've had the use for that app, and did the old AirPlay thing, so we're able to put it on the big screen. So that was a nice little rescue. So, but yeah, a bit frustrating to start, but glad to see it anyway. All right, so moving on, let's make this the feature game. And yes, it was because I was there. The Blackhawks of Chicago came to town with Connor Bedard wearing a mini fish tank on his head in tow. And I was a little worried about this game, shall we say, because it had all the earmarks of yet another letdown game. Given the fact that, Caps treated the Penguins like their own personal mop and bucket and wiped the floor with them. So I was kind of preparing myself for that. And it was, I would say it was, for me anyway, it was a tense first few minutes, because I don't think either team really had control. The first 5 minutes, it was kind of, bit of a back and forth. And then Hendricks LaPierre put all of that to bed with his seventh goal at 7:01.
My boy, my child. My
it's son. It's too bad. You know what? It's too bad. That number really fits him. It's kind of too bad. I love Ivan Labre and I love what he did, but it's kind of too bad that his number's retired, because I think the number 7 really fits LaPierre. Because not that
29. 29. Yeah, I mean that
29. 29's good. Well, 29, I think of Mike Palmatier. Sorry, it's the old Caps fan in me.
Hey, didn't the Nylander, Juice wore it. Nylander wore what, 92?
92. He wore 92 while he was with us. So,
mm-hmm.
And strangely enough. But yeah, he breaks the game open at 7:01, his seventh of the year. Carlson and Protas, Alexei Protas on the assists.
Protas.
On that one. Protoss, as a certain former Caps coach called him. And then, okay, so was it? No, okay, so it was Scarbosa who scored. There was another goal in between, which we'll get to in a second. But yes, it was indeed Scarbosa, his third. And arrived in the net with
it was a great shot.
It was very, very good. And it was a lot of aggressiveness. Sorry. I had to throw that in there, but yeah, Scarbosa, of course, rhymes with Barbosa. If you don't get the joke,
I got it.
And
listen, well, Jack.
Jack.
My God.
Van Riemsdyk and Johnny B. Good Carlson on the assist on that one. Carlson was all over the ice in this one, this game. My God.
He was.
Crazy. So he puts it in, and Caps were really rolling, and it was like, I want to say it was like 30 seconds later, something like that, mm-hmm. Alexei Protas got his goal. And to the delight of absolutely no one, I was dancing to the tunes of Lightning and Thunder.
Right.
By the, what's that band from Vegas? Imagine Dragons.
Yeah.
When that goal scored, only to find out the play is under review.
That thing over and over and over, and I still don't know how they saw enough to turn it over, but
what was the play?
They challenged it as offside.
They called it offsides, and the guy it was I think it was Van Riemsdyk.
That's Pat.
Right. That's right. It's Pacioretty who was on the off wing. And yeah, his
because they showed it repeatedly. They were like, 5-minute freaking review.
Yeah, thing, and I'm like, well, it. I mean, on TV, you have the luxury of walking away and getting yourself a club sandwich and an adult beverage, right, of your choice.
I could have took the 3-course meal at the time it took them to review that.
We were at the game. We didn't get to see the replay.
Okay, here we go.
They showed it one time.
And that, yeah, this, ladies and gentlemen, is the seamstress for the band, the Mrs. Blue Liner, who was with me at the game.
And someone's got to keep you in track.
Obviously here to hang a bucket wherever I leak. But yeah, it was interminable. It was horrible. And
yeah,
I
seriously could have cooked a 3-course meal in the time it took them to review that play.
You could,
and you know, they were, if they were going to call it a good goal, they would have, they were looking for a reason to call it, turn it over. The only reason I knew they were going to, as soon as it took longer than a minute, I'm like, they're going to turn this fucker over. They're just waiting. They're just looking for any little thing.
They're looking for something.
It was so freaking close. I don't see how they saw enough to turn it over, but.
Now, I saw and heard the replay, and Joby and Locker kind of insinuated that it was not so much Toronto's call versus the refs had the resources from Toronto.
Right.
To review it. So, but it wasn't their call. It was strictly the refs' call. Yeah. So, well, we complained about that in the past. So, thank God it wasn't a tie game or something, or come from behind, and it was the 59th minute of the game again, because it would have been their call, and you know how that would have gone. But
Colorado, Minnesota.
Yeah, it wouldn't have mattered, because it was running away with the game. But
let's see, it was Saint Laurent, Ballandina, Hughes, and Schweck.
Saint Laurent, right? Blandina. I never heard of him.
Brandon Blandina.
Well, I said this out loud to
all
five or six rows around me, whoever the hell would listen, which is why I sound like I sound right now. Every frickin' time they blow one of these, the lines person blows one of these, they ought to be fined X amount of dollars. That'll help them figure out to either one, get it right, or two, stop this foolishment and just not call these damn things, because does it really affect the play? No.
No.
Does Max Pacioretty's friggin' skate being 1 millimeter over the line affect the play? No.
Yes, well, it even was.
Well, that's here's the thing, though.
I'm baffled that they even thought they saw enough to turn it over.
The only thing that I hate about this challenging rule, especially for offsides, if the play has been in the zone for as more than a minute, if they're in the zone for a good 3 or 4 minutes, you should not be able to challenge it. But I mean, if you want to be that technical, it could be worse. I mean, you could be John Torts, who got thrown out of the game last night.
I heard about that. I didn't see.
Wes McCauley wasn't having any of it last night. And he tried to stay, which is funny. He tried to stay. They yelled, they threw him out of the game, and he wouldn't leave. Wes McCauley was not having it. So, I mean, it could be worse. But the game, the goal didn't have an effect, because the Caps would end up scoring again later in that period to make it 3-0. So, I mean, it's not like it really mattered. I mean, yeah, it took away a goal from Protas, but who cares? At this point, you still won 4-1. You won 2 of your last 3. You won 3 of your last 4. Actually, 5 of your last 6, if you think about it, dating back to last Monday. The team's playing well. Like, we've won, actually, I believe we won, what are we, 10-1 in our last 11?
Something like that, so, yeah.
Well, let me check the schedule.
I think that's what Brad said. Said after we won last night.
Okay. He's like, so, all right. So they've played four games.
Seven.
They've played four games in March, and they've won three of them. Now, going back beyond that, they split the two games the last week of February. Week before that, two wins in regulation, one overtime loss. Week before that, one overtime loss, one regulation loss against Colorado, and one regulation win. And you have to go back to the second week of February, the first week right after the All-Star break, coming back from the break, when they had a bad week, a sub 500 points week. So they're trending upward. And Ben Raby tweeted something, and everything's fallen out of my head. Maybe I should have my thinking cap on. I'm trying to dig it up in the group. If you can bear with me, because it was repeated there. Okay, so he said, NHL season began 5 months ago today. Noticeable improvement in all caps offensive finish over the past month. So he cites October 10th through February 9th, which is the week we just mentioned. 2.37 goals per game, ranking 30th. 14.6% power play, ranking 27th. And so from the last month, February 10th, from then until today, now they've turned it around since then. So we're talking that whole time period. So for the last month, they've averaged 3.92 goals per game, which is second for that time period, second in the league. And their power play has been clicking at, well, one for three, 33.3 repeating percent, which is good enough for third in the league for that time period.
I wonder why.
They have found their offense, finally.
I wonder why.
It took them a while.
Is it because maybe they're putting in the younger guys and the speed is starting to show up? I wonder why.
And also that they're starting to go to the net a lot more and following the game plan.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you look at most of the shots, most of them are a lot closer in than they used to
be. Most of the goals from last night, just about all of them from last night,
were right in front.
We're pretty much right in front in the slot area, in the circles. You know, we're not talking. It's nice to get a point shot that's deflected in once in a while, but those don't happen as much anymore, at least not for this team. So, but in response to that tweet, I tweeted something of my own that said, well, Caps are now at 30 wins with 20 games left to go. So conceivably, they could win 40 games.
And which, they're only 3 points back from the playoffs.
Right. That's more important. 40 wins is a possibility for this team, which will guarantee them a winning season, something that wasn't possible last year.
Right.
So either way, this team's trending upward. There's no doubt. There is no doubt about that. They're trending upwards. And I would say as long as they sustain this general momentum for the rest of the season, regardless of where they finish.
We have a tough schedule coming up though this next week. We got
we'll get into that for sure. And that there's no doubting that. But as long as they sustain the general momentum, which is they've been improving as they go, okay. Mission accomplished for this season, because it was kind of set in stone that this team was not going to make the playoffs. And it's going to be a long haul the rest of the way. They've got some really high quality teams they got to face. And a long road trip coming up.
And here's the good thing now. We have Detroit, I believe, two more times, and we have two games in hand against that said Detroit. So we could sneak in the wild card. A lot of people are like, well, let's look at Philadelphia. No, let's look at Detroit. Detroit's at 72. We're at 69. We take at least three of these next, I believe, what is it, a six-game road trip? We're playing Vancouver, Calgary, Edmonton, Seattle, and Winnipeg, so five. If we take three of the five of that, which I think we will, because Calgary and Seattle and Edmonton are winnable games, Even Vancouver. I mean, we played Vancouver tough when they came in. Like, outside of that McMichael blunder towards the end of that overtime game, we could have possibly won that game. So, looking at it, if we can take three of the next five on the road, we'll be in good shape, because Detroit is not playing well right now. They're on a downward spiral.
So the playoffs, however remote, are still a possibility. The realist in me is saying, I don't know. But like I've been saying all year, it's going to be fun to watch. And it has been fun to watch and still is. So
yeah, definitely.
Getting back to finish the scoring summary. So after we all went to our Easy Bake ovens and cooked our little muffins and still had time to go get a drink, the refs decided that the goal was no good because Pacioretty's skate size was too big. But no matter, Caps got another power play, and Tom Wilson got his 15th. Strome and Ovechkin on these, that, you know, hey, Ben Raby said it, 33.3%. So power play has been humming for sure. You know, granted, yeah, I know what some of you are saying. Yes, it was Chicago they played. I get that. But still, this is what they're supposed to do against a team like Chicago. And they did it. So what did you want? You who are saying that. So and then, so that ended the, first period. That all happened in the first period. So technically four goals. And then second period, Sonny Milano, cookies, got his 10th. Mm-hmm. Nobody got that, by the way. I got a lot of funny looks.
Yes, you did get a lot of funny looks.
Thank you, honey.
Wow.
Thank you.
Well, I'm just saying, you really did get a lot of, they're like, huh?
Well, it's fun. Like they don't know what Milano cookies are.
Well,
Pepperidge Farm remembers.
Pepperidge Farm remembers, yeah, that's for right. Sure. But apparently these guys that paid, you know, must have paid a bucket of blood's worth for these seats that we had.
It was pretty cheap. When I looked at the tickets, they were pretty cheap.
I'm trying to teach these heathens that there's such a thing as Milano cookies, and apparently they don't.
You should have just shown them the picture I posted on the PowerPoint.
But yeah,
just
so that
proud
was
of that picture.
What? What did you say?
So proud of the picture.
You're so proud of that picture. Like, she did it, but she wasn't the one that did it. Someone made it for her.
I did that picture.
No, you didn't. Stop lying to yourself.
Yes, I did. I made that
picture. No.
Yes, I did. I did.
No. Anyways, Gil, continue on.
Okay, all right. If I got to play referee, you're all in trouble. anyway, so to... So we were kind of hoping for an OV goal and or a fifth goal, which would have guaranteed pizza.
Oh, so they were doing the OV 50.
Well, it's two separate promotions. Either one of which will get you half price pizza.
Okay, I thought the it was next just day the one only thing, but okay.
The Papa John's app or PapaJohns.com.
It to just the OV goal. I don't know.
They did. They started against the Philadelphia game, the Flyers games, when they moved it to Ovi, and Ovi scored in that game. So we got pizza the next day. I think it's just Ovi. I don't think you have to score five goals anymore. I think it's just Ovi has to score. Because,
yeah, but it's
at
mid-season.
Well, to be fair, though, I mean, do you blame them, though? I mean, the way the Caps have been scoring lately, Papa John's is probably going to go out of business.
Oh my god, when it was, you know, they only had to win by four, a win was four.
Yeah, so they raised it to five.
Yeah, just four or five goals.
Now they're gonna have to raise it to six.
If they even keep that promotion.
Yeah, they're gonna get rid of it. Papa John's gonna be like, nah, all right, we're done. We're done with this, Caps. All right, we're gonna go out of business if we keep doing this. You guys keep scoring 5 goals every night.
But hang on, though. They do it nationwide. So for whatever team is vocal, they do it for that team. So
the Sabres don't do it. The Sabres have Moe's. So they have Welcome to Moe's. They do the Moe's Pro. If any right. player. Cheryl can attest for this too, because they did it when we were at the game. Mm-hmm. They have 3 players. They spotlight 3 players, and if they either score or get an assist or a point in general in that game, you get, I think, 25% off at Moe's.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they do it. Every team has their local promotion. It's not like, so like Papa John's is the Caps. I think Pittsburgh does something. I know Philadelphia does Philly cheesesteaks, the Flyers. I don't know who else does. I know the Rangers. I believe the Rangers do pizza. They also do half price off pizza, but they do like the New York style pizza. So it's for every team, but I missed the majority of this game. So seeing that we're up 4-0, I figured, we won, because I had to close last night, so I wasn't able to watch it. So I'm hearing all this for the first time. I mean, I saw the Lapierre goal, which was amazing, but I didn't see anything else.
Well, getting back to that goal, I mean, Lapierre was a bullet. I didn't even know mm-hmm. it was him. I didn't even know it was him that scored. He blitzed so fast in and out of the net. I didn't even know it was him until they announced it.
Like he came flying too in that goal too, and it was a deflection.
Yeah.
Which is a beautiful goal.
He was like, a smart bullet in and out of that crease on that goal. And if that is a preview of what we'll be seeing for his career, tighten your seatbelts, folks, because you're gonna love it. You're a Caps fan.
Got our number one and number two center. Calling it now. We already got our number one C and number two.
Yep. Definitely. A center who goes to the net. Fancy that. Haven't had that in a while.
If only McMichael could do that, but McMichael's too a son of a lazy son of a bitch.
I don't think McMichael's lazy. I think he's not as confident in
he has lazy tendencies. If you look back to when his World Juniors coach, his the one flaw of his game. He tends to go into a lazy, which is why again I bring back the comparison. Lapierre plays a lot like Backstrom. McMichael plays a lot like Kuznetsov, because Kuznetsov had the same type of problem for him, where there's games where he's more floating than he is skating. McMichael is not. We've seen less of that of him this year, but I think that's more towards Spencer than it is his actual game. I think Spencer has put him in a better position this year, which is why I don't think he should get a bridge deal, which is what Brad brought up. He said they should give him a 2-3 bridge deal and make him prove it. I'm like, he already proved himself this year. He's already having a career year. He proved himself in Hershey last year, especially during the playoffs. The guy deserves a contract. I give him the same contract. Here's what I understand. He agrees with the Protas contract for the 5-year deal for Protas, but he doesn't want to give McMichael a 5-year deal when Protas has scored less than McMichael.
I think his line of reasoning for that is that Protas is a more physical presence, and by
but
definition,
use the body.
Not the way we'd like.
I mean, the 2 shots that he blocked last night. You don't
he blocked shots. I'll give him
there.
That. No,
you don't see McMichael getting in there and putting his body at risk.
No, But the thing with Protas though is like he's such a big specimen that he's a softy, okay? He's a softy with the inside, because he refuses to use his body. He refuses to check. Like, you know how many times the puck goes behind the net in the offensive zone and he's coming up and he refuses to check? One little check could create a turnover, which could lead to a scoring chance. Every time that happens, Cheryl's always yelling, use the body, but he never does. I don't know.
Well, another example was that first goal against Philly. If he had checked that guy, been a step faster and hit that guy instead of trying to whiff at the puck, that goal never happened. So that's the kind of stuff that we need to see more of out of Protas.
Well, he's going to be a bottom six guy.
Well,
so it's not like...
Yeah, I mean, he's going to be third, fourth.
Well, I don't know about bottom six, but he might start there. He's probably going to end up being a middle six guy. What I envision him, this is going to sound really strange, but he has the same... how do I explain this? His presence is enough to create space for his two line mates. So, a la Tom Wilson, without all the hitting and the mayhem and the violent talk.
But that's what Ryan Leonard's going to do, and that's exactly what Ryan Leonard is he's literally just another Tom Wilson, but he has a more of offensive side. Where when Tom Wilson came in the league, Tom Wilson could score, but he wasn't scoring at the rate that he's scoring now. Back then, he was more of an enforcer. He was a guy to go on the ice to throw the check and scare the opposition. Where now, Tom has been able to turn his game into an all-around game where he can check and he can score. Ryan Leonard is that, but he's already what Tom Wilson became. So he's already that. So I feel like Protas plays a similar. He could play a similar style, but I feel like the guy that's really going to do that is Ryan Leonard. And that's why the fact that when we drafted him, the first person they brought up was Tom Wilson.
Right. Well, let's go ahead and we've been delaying it long enough. Chicago managed to score a goal. If you'd have heard the Chicago fans that were actually there, apparently.
Two of them.
They showed up and acted like they'd won the whole world when this goal got scored. But
hey, wait a minute. Okay, we've got to give them the benefit of the doubt here. They hadn't been scoring a whole lot, so that one goal was them winning. Was them winning.
Well, they showed up and they got kind of loud and. Yeah, I wanted to tell him, hey, act like you've been there before. And you'd have thought, like I said, you'd have thought they just won the whole thing at that point. And it was a fluky goal, to be sure, because there was nothing was getting past Charlie that night except for something fluky like that. This was a shot out of nowhere that was deflected. And I myself didn't get as good a view because they decided the production crew at that very point in the game decided two rows down from us to stick a cameraman and do some sort of stupid interview or something with somebody in the back office or something. I don't know. I don't know what the hell they did, but it was a fluky goal nonetheless. And it's not even worth mentioning, but it was the one blemish on another otherwise great night for Charlie Lindgren. So he ends up getting 31 of 32, quite a few of them. I marked only one in the Facebook room, but quite a few of them were high danger 10 bell variety.
Plus the stash.
Yeah. And that glove was.
Wait.
Nothing was getting past it.
Yeah.
Trademark.
Nothing was getting past it. So it's a good thing. And we're going to get to this in a little bit here, but it's a good thing the organization has or will have some cap space to deal with because, they like it or not, we got another goalie situation to figure out here. And it involves either. Dealing one of our goalies or giving one of our goalies a something of a raise. So
I think we're in a very good spot because it's going to depend how the Bears do in the playoffs. Because like I said, I think this is the last year for Scott Murray. I think he's gone after this year.
Go ahead.
The guy in Hershey is going to get promoted. If he doesn't get promoted, he's definitely going to another NHL team. I don't think the Caps are going to are willing to let him go, especially not the way he has turned Hunter Shepherd and Clay Stevenson. Clay Stevenson is hands down the best goalie in the NHL right now. And we're going to see how he performs in the playoffs. And if he does exactly as good as I think he can, he could earn a spot next year as a backup, possibly as a starter towards the end of the season because of Charlie Lindgren's contract. Because it's not like we don't have other contracts to sign. I mean, we still got to give Matt McMichael his raise. We still got to give a couple other players. We still got to sign a couple other players. I believe the defense, we're locked in defense now because we just re-signed Sandin. We re-signed Ferrari, I think it was last year. Could have been this year too. I think we re-signed him this year as well. There's John Carlson. We don't know what we're going to do with John Carlson. We still have Vincent Aurario. How many years does he have left? Carlson, I think he has two. He'll definitely be gone by next year. If we're not in the playoff race next deadline, I wouldn't be shocked if we trade him. But there's a lot of contract talks that needs to happen in the offseason. So, I mean, I would not be shocked if Charlie walks because we have two good goalies in Hershey. I mean, and this is a good thing to have.
It's yes, it is. A good
problem to have. Because you can release Darcy and still be good because then you can call up Hunter Shepherd, who's played well for us. Clay Stevenson is on. There's also Mitchell Gibson. We're not even talking about him. Gibson's also playing well for South Carolina for the Stingrays. So there's also a possibility of him coming up. I mean, this is a very good, and we're not even going to talk about how we have 14 picks in the next three drafts, in the next three drafts, we have 14 total picks, which we could grab a goalie then and would be set too. So we're in a very good spot. So, I mean, if we don't reassign Charlie, I'm not going to act like it's the end of the world because we have other guys to go to. Would I love to re-sign Charlie? Hell yeah. But he's going on 30. I want to get younger at that position. I don't want to have both our goaltenders be in their 30s. I'm sorry, but it's a fact. I mean, if we're close, we're really ahead of this rebuild than I thought we'd be. We're probably going to make the playoffs next year. We're going to sneak in the playoffs next year. Well, I guess I just spoiled my prediction. We're going to make the playoffs next year. That is my prediction. We're making the playoffs next year. And we're going to win in the first round. We're going to knock a team off. But for that to happen, as much as I love Charlie, we need a younger guy in net. And I feel like Clay Stevenson is that guy. I think he's almost ready. He played really well, and he didn't play amazingly in South Carolina, but that's okay. Neither did Vanacek, but Vanacek came in and started playing well for Hershey. He's playing extremely well now. If we get rid of Murray, we bring up the guy we got in Hershey. I think we're set at net for long term. But if we want to use one of our next two, because we have two second rounders this year, via
Vegas. What about that goalie we picked up last year, Keller? That's why I'm asking.
If he even sticks with the organization, he'll probably wind up being
an AHLer for life.
AHL or ECHLer for life.
Matt Murray for the Pens was a sixth round pick. I mean, Holpe was a fourth round pick, so but he was like towards the end of the draft. So I don't think we're gonna see much out of him. But then again, going back to football, Brock Purdy was Mr. Irrelevant, and he just took the 49ers to the Super Bowl. So what the hell do I know? I do think, though, that don't be shocked if our first two picks in the second round, one of our two picks in the second round is a goaltender, because this year's goaltending is deep. It's very deep. We're not going to see many goalies in the first round this year. I don't think we're going to see any goalies in the first round this year, but next. But that second round, don't be shocked to see majority of the goalies that are at the top of the board for this year's draft go in the second round, and one of us drafting him, because you also got to look. Clay Stevenson will be 25. He'll probably be 26 before he's the full time starter. So that gives him what, maybe 5-6 years tops as the starting goalie for this team. Because goalies usually fall off. Some don't, some do. But I've noticed recently goalies have been falling off towards middle of their 30s. Once they hit 33, they start to fall off. And I feel like that's what's going to happen. I mean, Charlie's playing well right now, but what happens when he starts to play better minutes? He's playing playoff hockey on top of regular season hockey. What's going to happen? Is he going to falter? We don't know. He's never really played a playoff game, so we don't know how he's going to look either. So we'll see what happens. But like I said, I feel like we're going to make the playoffs next year. That's what I'm predicting. I predict our rebuild to be over in 26-27. I think we're going to be contending for a cup, and I think we'll win one in 28. If everything goes as planned.
If everything goes as planned.
Yes.
No one rides a Segway as well as you do, Marcus. Too bad we're not on your podcast. But we're going to drift into, when I say ride a segue, I mean like a big fat mall cop on a segue.
Paul Blart.
Yeah.
Paul Blart.
him too. But we'll kind of loop into the main topic of focus here, which is what the Caps and maybe others did at the deadline this year. So it was much anticipated because, as is well known by some Caps fans anyway, this is a transition year, and there were some attractive targets that were at least looked at, some of which were moved. So just a quick rundown. I mean, you all know what happened by now, at least I hope you would, but a quick rundown of what actually happened. The big one, two of the big ones, I would say. First was Anthony Mantha to the Vegas Golden Knights for what was it? Was it just the second rounder?
A second rounder and a fourth rounder, 2026 fourth rounder.
A second rounder
this year.
This year and a fourth rounder in 2026. And
2025, I thought.
I think it was 2026.
The year after. They skipped a year for some reason. Okay. But bit of a funny story that the mighty Sakroom and I actually found out we were actually recording the Sakroom's Off the Chain podcast for last week when it actually happened. And our friend Mr. Canty actually came on and let us know that it actually happened as we were speaking about it. So it was, what was this, Thursday? So Tuesday. 24 hours.
Tuesday.
About 48 hours before or so before the deadline. So, I mean, what did we learn here? So even when the mighty Sakroom gets stuck with as far as game-breaking information, well, you do what he did. He went to Jared.
Every kiss begins with K.
In this case, Mr. K.
I know. Mr. K.
There we go. Well, yeah, he went to Jared. K. Yeah. It worked.
So, his name works for both.
Oh, no, I mean, I'm kind of serious, though. Had it not been for him,
We
wouldn't have known, because I was looking and looking and looking, and I hadn't seen the Caps do anything yet.
I probably would have known, because he probably would have blown my phone up, because he did send something in our messenger chat we have together. He sent a photo that said, "Oh my God." So
yeah,
but
that was the first about. Yeah, that was the first of the big deals. And yes. Marcus, you did indeed call that as early as, what was it, a month ago when the December, Vegas
early as December.
A few months ago
to Vegas.
Yeah, when Vegas had what was it? A half a dozen scouts at one game.
The entire month of February, they've gone to every game, Caps home game, and like when a team does that, and there's no way in hell they're not trading for one of your players. I thought it was going to be for Dowd at that time, but in December, I've been preaching that Mantha to Vegas was going to happen. I even predicted at the beginning of the season. I said, I wouldn't be shocked if Mantha goes to Vegas. It makes sense. It does. He's a big body. They need to get bigger. I mean, I don't know if he played last night, but Vegas looked pretty good last night. So they're back. Vegas is back. Great. Vegas made another fucking ridiculous trade towards the end of the trade deadline on Friday. Salary cap. What the hell is that?
Now, no, there's no sense. Look, there's no sense going into that too much because, look, all 32 teams can take advantage of that nice, neat little loophole. So
they can. I mean, I'm not saying what Vegas did was wrong. I'm not.
Right.
Didn't Tampa do it for years?
I'm saying the salary cap thing is fucking ridiculous. I mean, they need to get rid of it. They need to get rid of that long-term injury reserved rule because it's just unfair but every team does it, but it's just the rules is just unfair. I mean, get rid of it. Because here's the thing, look at it. Vegas is going into the playoffs. If they make it, they can still miss it. I mean, if they miss it, then who cares? But if they go into the playoffs, they're going to be over almost $100 million in salary cap.
That's a lot. And that's more than almost any team out there.
Right, but until somebody comes up with an idea to fix that rule, it's all legal.
It is. So that's my only gripe. Is just the rule is really stupid. I mean, outside of that, I'm fine with it. I mean, Chicago did it before. Tampa Bay did it. Tampa Bay whined about Chicago doing it. Then they end up doing it four or 5 years later with Kucherov. I mean, and Kucherov was a little draw on the line because Kucherov was still practicing with the team, even though he wasn't supposed to. He was supposed to be a long injured reserve LTIR, which is there's a rule in LTIR where you're not supposed to practice with the team for a certain amount of time. You're not even supposed to be near the team for a certain part of the time. LTIR is once you put a player on that, they can't touch the team, they can't play for the team, they can't do anything with the team until a certain period of time. And if it's especially if it's late in the season, they can't touch the team until playoffs. But they kind of got away with that. So that with that on that side, I understand why people were pissed when Tempe was doing that. But I mean, I don't even think Mark Stone's practicing with the team. Because he ruptured his spleen. So he might not even play. He might not even come back.
Yeah. That's an injury. That's not a type thing to fool with. So yeah, he'll be out quite a bit. Even if they make the final, I doubt we'll see Stone again, at least not until next season. So that was the big deal though, was Mantha to Vegas for the two draft picks. For my part, when I heard the return, my initial reaction, and I still kind of feel this way a little bit, was that it was a bit underwhelming because one, as it was explained to me, Mantha is indeed a rental, but he's a rental that is having the best season of his career. He's in a contract year, so he's going to keep on having that good season and into the playoffs. And the recipient in this case, Vegas, plays a very physical style that suits him to a T. Suits his game to a T because he's gotten increasingly physical as the season went on, and he's discovered that that's part of the key to his success. So he's going to keep on playing that style. And if you've got somebody that's good, that is that good a fit, then you are well within your rights to ask for the sky, the star, the moon, the International Space Station, whatever among the heavens. And I'm sure Brian McClellan did, not to apologize for him. I'm sure he did, but to not get back a first round pick.
I mean, look what their GM did. I mean, he traded for Tomas Hertl, Noah Hanifin, and Anthony Mantha, and they still have their 2024 first round pick.
That they do. And I'm beginning to think Kelly McCrimmon has, you know, Jedi mind tricks up his sleeve or something.
He's got blackmail on some of these GMs. I'm telling you right now, Mike Greer, I don't know how he still has a job after that Tomas Hertl trade. They said Hertl and 2 third rounders, and they're paying 17% of his retaining 17% of his contract for the next 6 years. I don't know how you'd make that deal. I don't know how.
Well, I'll say this. If somehow the Sharks improve over the next 2 seasons, then this is going to be a bit of a shock. But if somehow they improve, Mike Greer should win Executive of the Year. And I made this post on the Facebook page, but they have effectively handcuffed themselves the next few years. And surprisingly, I did not know this, but every team only gets 3 contracts they can carry where they retain salary from a player that's no longer on their roster.
I think the Caps did it. I think they retained every salary except for Edmondson.
Well, you can only do it for 3 players at any given time. So at any year, in any year, you got 3 spots. We've used all 3 of ours, but 2 of them drop off next year.
Yeah.
Right.
One of them we're going to talk about here in a second. San Jose, they have their 3 spots locked up all the way through next season.
Oof.
And they have 2 of the 3 spots locked up all the way through 2027.
Out.
Carlson.
That's even harder.
So if they want to make a trade with somebody and they say, we need you to retain salary, they can't, at least not for at least a year.
They'll
and a half.
Get a third team. They'll have to get a third team to retain the salary.
It'd have to be one of those three-way deals. And I'm not talking about something you'd watch on the Playboy channel. But
it's Pornhub. Get it right. It's Pornhub.
I was kind of doing an end run. anyway,
listen, we don't live in the 50s anymore.
He was appealing to the older listeners.
I know.
A different generation.
Or the generation after that, maybe the Spice Channel. I don't know. Anyway. I'm going to hell for
Joel Edmondson. Joel Edmondson. I like the return we got for Edmondson as well. I mean,
so the second trade, So the second deal that was done, and I know some of you are probably screaming at your listening device right now, whatever it be. Yeah, we'll get to him in a minute. But yeah, Edmondson was the other deal. Not as much fanfare over this one, but he was traded to Toronto. And I believe the return was a third and a fifth rounder.
Third and a fifth,
For him.
Next year's third, and I believe a fifth rounder either this year or 2026. I know we got a third rounder for 2025. That might have been the Carolina pick, because I know Carolina's pick is next year's.
We got a 2024 third and a 2025.
Yeah, so look at that. We have 1 first round pick, which will probably be in the top 15 if we miss. We have 2 second round picks. We have 2 3 round picks. We're drafting a goalie. There's no way in hell we're not drafting a goalie. I mean, we have 5 picks in the first 3 rounds. There's just no way in hell we're not drafting a goalie with one of those picks.
Right.
Well, we'll see, but that's going to be, yeah, that so draft day. Yeah. Draft day is going to be very interesting indeed. But yeah, that's considering the original deal for Edmondson was the Caps gave up a third and what was it? A seventh?
Yes, a third and a seventh in 2024.
And we've managed to effectively flip him for a third and a fifth for just over a half a season of I don't know why or what. Because, yeah, he's effectively stunted Alex Alexiev's growth, I think. But that's just my mm-hmm. humble opinion. But yeah. Not to get too deep into that. So that was the second of the three deals. Okay, so now... Yes, now we've come to the other large deal. So, yes.
Goodbye, horses.
Evgeny Kuznetsov, he of the Bird Dance, is no longer a Washington Capital, sad to say. He was...
Not a complete surprise.
Not a complete surprise given the sequence of events that happened.
I really was hoping he went.
Well, the how may have been a bit of surprise, but yeah, the trajectory of the whole thing, yeah, not so much. So the deal in its entirety was Kuznetsov for what was it, a third rounder?
Yes,
2025
third-round
pick.
Next, not this year.
Salary.
Yeah, not this year's third rounder, but 2025 third rounder, and sure. The Caps retain 50% of his remaining salary, which he's still on the books all the way through next year. So, not bad, not horrible. You figure he's a player in decline. He's you know, not what he was
He looked good yesterday. He looked good yesterday for them. So,
yeah, yeah. But
yesterday,
go ahead.
Did he play?
Yeah.
Yes, he did play.
Mm-hmm. He played top 2 minutes, top line, second line minutes. They've had him play a lot yesterday.
Yeah, I didn't think he had been able to play yet.
He was cleared.
Gensel wasn't. Gensel was not. Yeah, Gensel didn't play.
Kuzi was cleared not long after the deal was completed.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was still looking forward to playing at least a game in Hershey, man. Come on. Could you imagine that?
That would have been fun to see.
That would have been a lot of fun to watch.
Okay. So for those curious, since it was brought up, so Kuznetsov's first game as a cane, a hurricane. I can't believe I'm doing this, but if it was anybody else, probably not. So his line, it was against the Flames, not against the Flames. Geez, I'm getting ahead of myself here. The Devils yesterday. So his line. Okay, so no goals, no assists, no points, two shots on goal, exactly 13 minutes on ice in 18 shifts, and he was a plus one.
I heard that.
And he won 55% of his faceoffs.
He won how many?
So only 55%.
Just over half.
That's get out of here. That's pathetic. He should have won 100.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a shock that it happened, maybe how it happened. But again, I think it was a good return overall.
It was a good, great return. Now that we brought him up, I've been saving this all week. I kind of went over it a little bit during my podcast. Here it is. My honest opinion with Kuznetsov. I'm happy for him. He gets a chance at winning another Stanley Cup. But overall, it just, he will always, and he even stated during the interview before the game yesterday, DC will always be his home. I have a feeling when he's done playing hockey, he's going to join Backstrom. He's going to join Ovi in the front office, and they're going to be part of the team. But my forever, though, forever, he will be remembered as the guy that defeated Pittsburgh, that sent Sidney Crosby crying ass home and made Letang look like a chump on that breakaway goal that sent us to the conference finals. The first time, the last time we went to the conference finals before that, gas was 20 cents. Think about it. Think about it. But I'm happy for him. I'm glad he gets a chance at another shot. It sucks the way it ended here, but life goes on.
Yeah, and I totally agree. He will forever be the guy that, in the words of the immortal Big John Walton, slayed the Penguins.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Pittsburgh. The Capitals done it.
He will forever be that guy. And as much as anybody helped bring the cup to DC, so I will never bear him any ill will.
As long as he doesn't go to Pittsburgh like Lars, someone we know, number 20. Can't believe he did that.
Well, you know what? When you're in your 30s and you're looking to get on with a team, you know, you'll sign with anybody that's willing to pay you. So
that's another thing that I find hilarious. They signed Lars Eller thinking he's going to bring them a cup.
That's kind of funny. The Penguins' playbook lately has been do what the Caps do.
Well, here's the thing. Here's the quote that Dubas said, and the team said at the beginning of the season. A lot of the fans said as well. The Eric Carlson trade. They want to win one more cup, and when they said that, I laughed from 4 hours straight because. There was no way in hell Eric Carlson, surgery on my ankle Carlson, was going to give them the cup contenders. He is almost as old as Crosby and Malkin and Letang are. So how the hell was his trade? And the funny thing is, the betting odds actually improved for them. I don't know how the hell they were betting odds to win a Stanley Cup when the team in itself is older than the Caps. The Caps are now the 14th youngest team in the league. Pittsburgh is still the oldest team in the league.
Well, that's what you call that. That's what we call in horse racing, dumbass money.
It's what I call dumbass Crosby, because Crosby whined. Pittsburgh should have traded their picks away after they lost to us in the Stanley Cup final. Because they've not been the same team since Kuznetsov, since Wilson. Wilson completely changed them in that series. That's why they went out to get the fall in 2017. They went out to get, I can't play hockey, but apparently the Caps have a boring logo. What's his face? Ryan Reeves. Can't believe he said that. Get the hell out of here. Caps have a boring logo.
Well, in any case, unlike the Mantha trade, I thought the return was fair for the Kuznetsov. And yeah, this might be the shot in the arm that he needed, the change of scenery he was looking for.
He looks happy.
And
he
definitely
looks happy.
And you know, we all do, and it'll be a bittersweet if indeed the Hurricanes do win the cup with him.
I don't think they will, but
they've got a very good chance to this year. So, which is a reason, you know, why they went after him and others. So now that we've gone over all three deals, so let's all of us here kind of figure out, okay, so I don't like doing things this way, but it's what people listen for. So real quick, I don't think there's such a thing in, oh, you won the deadline. It would win the deadline. The hell is that garbage? Win the
Whoever makes the best trade.
Who made the best trade? Who did win the deadline? What do you get? Some sort of prize? You know, Ed McMahon going to come up out of his grave and give you a million dollar check?
You know what's funny? The teams that have, who end up winning the deadline, that have the best trades, always lose early in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, It's the team who makes the quietest deals, the deals that help the team out the most. No offense to Vegas, but I honestly, Noah Hanifin, Thomas Hurdle, Anthony Mantha, they're big fish in a small pond. But I'm telling you right now, look out for Colorado. Colorado did exactly what they needed to do. They got Casey Mittelstadt. They got Sean Walker. They got Trennan. They got that guy from Minnesota. They looked good the other night against Minnesota. Did they score? No, but they looked really good. So it's not going to be teams that are making these big ass trades that's going to win the Stanley Cup, which is, I wouldn't be shocked if Vegas gets knocked out in the first round. They looked good last night, but that's one game. That's against LA.
It's almost too much. And I say almost. I say almost only because, well, they got some slots to fill because they're banged up. But even so, it's almost too much.
What happens when they get healthy?
Yeah.
What happens? Like, what's going to happen then? Like, the chemistry is going to be so, like, look at Boston. Boston is the prime example from last year. Boston was this year's Vegas. Look how much Boston traded for Bertuzzi. They traded for Orlov. They traded for Hathaway. Who else did they trade for? They traded for Foligno. No, was it Foligno? No, they signed Foligno. They traded for who else did they trade for?
They went all in last year.
They went all in, yeah.
And look what happened. Look what happened. They blew a 3-1 lead.
So Vegas is not winning the division. So they're not getting home ice throughout the playoffs. They could probably sneak in that top three, but I don't think they're catching Edmonton. They're definitely not catching Vancouver. Vancouver has already got that division under lock. Here's a funny thing though. Winnipeg made all those trades. Could you imagine if they have to play Vegas in the first round?
But you know, bringing it back home though. Obviously, and look, I kind of get the sentiment, but there were some of you out there, and I hope you're listening because this is directed at you, who were clamoring for a roster player that can help us now.
Why would they need to help us now?
We're not. Would you need exactly? Ow. You don't need somebody that they've got the pieces in place now. They're developing. This is a transition year.
To play devil's advocate, the only way I would see that to work is if we get a defender that can play now. But we have two guys that are more likely going to see ice time next year towards the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
And Chesley and Arario. We might even see Chesley this season.
I'd love to see Chesley in a pro uniform either way, just to see what he got. Well, here's the problem I have with get somebody now. Who do you give up? Who do you give up to get a roster player?
Ryan Leonard.
Right. You have to give up either a prospect or somebody else that's on the roster now and or retain salary and or a high draft pick. That's what it would cost. That's why the deals that were made. And before anybody starts screaming, look, I am not a big fan of Brian McClellan. I'm not. Okay? I have to acknowledge that he's not been the smartest as far as retaining all of these high salaries. That's what did everybody in the first place. That's what's gotten this team in the hole in the first place. But he is cleaning up this mess. He is concentrating on the future, which is what he should have done the day after they won that cup. Mm-hmm. He should have started doing, instead of promising everybody these ridiculous salaries and terms. Now, the Edmondson thing, I don't know why he did that, but he even made up for that.
Pacioretty signing too.
I think the Pacioretty signing had some value to it.
I think you well, had.
He signed for a good deal. He signed for a good deal. It wasn't like we
it wasn't
like we
right. It wasn't. It wasn't like they threw all this money at him, and wasted that. I don't think with as fluid as the forward lines were, I don't think he was a waste, and he didn't get it. He didn't get a start until what was it, December anyway, December or January. So I think the younger forwards might have picked up a few things for him. So in the long run, I think that was worth it. But again, you can't make deals for roster players that are going to help you now without giving up something. And I'm sorry, you know, you can't give up. The asking price would have been something like a LaPierre, a McMichael, a first round pick. You know, yeah. I feel like I'm on the $100,000 pyramid, but I mean, am I getting through to everybody here? Okay.
Yes.
You don't mortgage the present for the future, and you don't mortgage the future for the present. You have to keep it fluid.
I think he did pretty good this year doing that, though.
I don't like rating, as I said, I don't like rating deadline deals, but I think overall, I think the Caps came out pretty well.
We got a B+. You look at it.
And every team has different needs. There's not really any way to say, okay, this person got the best deal, this person got the best deal. Each team needs something different. We know we're in the middle of a rebuild. We know this is a transition year. We know we had people on the books that we needed to trade to give room for these young players to come up. I mean, I don't see anything at all wrong with how things turned out. I mean, we could have gotten a little better, like you were saying, for Mantha. I mean, for him having the season that he's having, we probably could have got a little bit more out of him or more for him. But I don't think it was a dud by any stretch of the imagination.
No. The Caps collected a lot of what will turn out to be valuable draft picks, which they can either flip for a player or a higher draft position or, you know, just about anything you can imagine.
I have a feeling a lot of these draft picks are going to get not necessarily they're going to come into play for sooner rather than later. So whether we use them all this year and start using them now, or we use them to make trades and move up in the draft list, I think that's going to come into play.
Don't be shocked if we trade back into the first round this year.
That would not surprise me. If some of these were kind of pooled together and say, okay, we'll give you all these, but we want a higher, you know, we want your pick in the first round, or I would not be surprised, but it's all about and should be all about the future.
Yep.
So
which I'm hearing for the first pick before we wrap up mock draft, keep an eye on his name is Bradishin. I think his name is Bradishgon. He is a big right winger. And I've seen at least 4 mock drafts in the last week have us draft him at 15. So don't be shocked if we go after him at 15. Because that's exactly what we need. Because our top 6 is set in the future with Miro, LaPierre, Leonard, Cristal, McMichael. But we don't have a right winger there. Because I tell you now, a third line in a couple of years is going to be Ovi, Strom, and Wilson. As much as people want to admit, that's going to be the line. Because the top 6 needs to be in their 20s.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to mention this. I met Paul Hackett at the game. We were talking about this, but Ovi is most likely going to call it quits, as he said, at the end of his contract year. That said, if he wants, he can go to Mr. Leonsis and say, hey, I want to play one more year. Give me X amount for that hometown discount, whatever. But he's most likely going to be done.
He's going back to Russia.
Yeah, I that would not surprise me. So That part of it is probably going to be for two more years. So how great is it that we got to see Marashnichenko on the same bench as Ovechkin? So
yep.
You're seeing the future and the
present.
Right. And you're seeing the future and the present play out now. Enjoy it. That's what this was all about. That's what the trade deadline this year was all about. Keeping your good pieces and flipping the contracts and the players that weren't going to be a permanent part of the solution for the future.
It was great to see when Miro scored, the first person.
Oh yeah, that was amazing.
The two people that celebrated with him were Ovi and Wilson, the two guys that are going to be the captain now and the guy that's going to be the captain in the future. So it's cool to see that. But like I said, don't be shocked if Ovi goes back to Russia for a year to play his last year and at 41, and then he retires. But the thing is, Ovi has made it known. He's made it known the last 4 or 5 years. His plan is to come back to the States, and he wants to go into the organization for the Capitals. He wants to be part of this organization, and it be a broadcasting team, front office, maybe even coaching staff. He wants to be part of it. I mean, look how many caps have gone, like Brooks Orpik, Ole the goalie is the recruit. Brooks Orpik and Kozlov, or Ole, are both part of the team's recruiting and drafting staff. Who else? There's another player that's who is another one it was here but no longer here. DSP is another Devontae Smith-Pelly. He's also going to be part. He's getting into the organization too.
He's getting time on Monumental as well. So you got a lot of ties being built here.
And yeah, Anzai's going to be with the team
part
too.
Of the organization.
I'm
bringing up Anzai.
Yeah. And so is Langway. So is Langway. Yeah. Langway's always out there giving away jerseys.
Right. Yeah.
A lot of guys who have built and are building a winning tradition here, making this one of the attractive places to play. So I know a lot of you out there are thinking, well, we got to improve now. Well, I get that, but
why?
Why
do we need to improve now?
Because we're in a generation of instant gratification is why.
Well, that, and I get that you may not think that they're winning enough now, but if you think about it, if you're trying, you're thinking improve the team now, you're trying to jumpstart a car that's driving along the highway at 65, jumpstart it so it can go 95. Why? There's no need. This team is on a track, and it's going to stay on that track.
I told you, we're on a 10-step plan. Right now, we're at plan number 3. Next year, we'll be at plan number 5. The year after that, we'll be at number 6. The year after that, we'll be at number 9. And by 28, we'll be at the 10th step, and we'll be ready to compete for another Stanley Cup. I'm calling it now. By 2028, we'll be, if we don't win another cup before, if we don't, we're, that's when we're, that's when our window opens, 28 to maybe 32. Right now, it's just building the roster. We got some young guys in there. The oldest guy we got right now in the prospect pool is McMichael at 24. Anyone else is still 22 or 23. I mean, you can call it Dylan Strome, but Dylan Strome really isn't a prospect. He's been in the league for a long time now. He's been on 4 different freaking teams. I think maybe 5. So you can't really call him a prospect, but 2028 is where we're going to see this team be a number one contender, like be a favorite to win the Stanley Cup again. And boy, you better enjoy the ride, because I'm telling you right now, I have a feeling we're going to start beating Pittsburgh in the playoffs. Because I feel like that 2018 series got a monkey off their back. Yes, they haven't won a series since, but they haven't played Pittsburgh since yet either. And I have a feeling when we play Pittsburgh, we're going to knock them out.
So it's all about building. Yeah. But you're seeing the results now. We went over their record for the last month. That's just a little hors d'oeuvre for the big meal that's to come with this team. Are you getting what I'm saying, folks? Okay. Mm-hmm. You who want that blockbuster trade, that big name is just going to put a wedge in the plans, just going to break the bank when you're trying to save up for that luxury yacht. Okay. You don't need it. It's not necessary. They're getting there. It's about the journey. It's about the end product. It's not about putting a turbo engine on a VW Bug. Okay. You have to have some patience. And the Caps didn't. They didn't figure that out until 2 years ago.
To take a quote from a guy from Sudbury, from Letterkenny, give your boss a tug. Just relax. Relax. Give your balls a tug. Relax. We're on a ride. We're rebuilding. It's not like we're competing. We were the third oldest team in the league. We're now the 14th youngest. Wake up, people. We're not always going to be good. Just imagine, before Ovi, this franchise sucked. It did.
He's not entirely wrong. Except for that year when we made it to the final.
We are still the worst franchise to ever expand to have only 8 wins in their first ever season. That'll never be topped. Think about it. Be quiet. Enjoy it.
But not with the way they're doing the expansions now. That will never be beat. Yeah, that'll never be the case again.
To go from 8 wins to 30 now in a season we weren't even expected to make the playoffs. Stop your bitching. Seriously, I'm sick and tired of it.
Okay, so I think we made our point.
I think so. And I believe Marcus is preaching to the choir, at least in this particular.
Well, at least here, yeah. But I'm hoping you on the other side of the speakers, the earbuds, what have you, if you've managed to get through all of this madness, now understand that there is a grand plan in place, and it's starting to bear fruit.
Ten part plan, ten step plan.
And we're only partway there. But it's already looking good. The tree is flowering. You can see the fruit budding. You can almost taste what it's going to bear.
The cherry
blossoms.
Hang
on for the ride. Hang on for the ride. And just
like this.
Watch and enjoy.
The cherry blossoms.
Enjoy your ride.
The cherry blossoms.
Keep your hands and arms inside the vehicle and enjoy the ride.
Like
I think
DC,
it's like this.
Like DC's cherry blossoms. Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like DC's cherry blossoms, which we got to go see, Cheryl. We have to see those. When do they bloom? In April?
At the way the weather's going now, it will probably be in the next week or so.
There you go. That gives us a reason to go down to DC.
We'll talk about that later.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to wrap it up here. We're going to end it here. So I hope you've learned something. And if you have a dissenting opinion or any opinion for that matter, you're welcome to come on with us or make it known at the Facebook page or join our chat room for hot takes, especially during games. And if you're going to a future game, let me know. Hopefully I'll come out and see you. But thanks to all of you who have stayed with us. Thanks for listening. So thanks to the mighty Sacroom. Marcus, thank you again for your analysis and insight. Thank you, C4.
Pleasure being on.
Yep.
Always a pleasure and an honor.
C4 for not allowing us to go too crazy. And thank you, Mrs. Blue Liner, for just for being you.
Yeah.
So well, with that,
she has to be something dealing with you, Gil.
Yeah.
we love when Mrs. Blue Liner joins in.
Yeah, we do. So for everybody,
This is the Blue Liner on Point signing off and reminding you that, well, as I posted on Facebook after the game, I had a last call beer, might have drank it a little too fast and forgotten it. I hadn't had anything to eat in a while, so I was suffering the effects of that. But speaking of beer, how do you make Budweiser? Well, you send him to school. As if that wasn't bad enough, how do you make Miller Lite? You put him on a diet.
Plug it in. Oh, put it on a diet.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, my God.
Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good night, Power Play Point Podcast. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. See, these are the worst dad jokes I've ever heard.
Oh, he's got more.
Oh, there's plenty more.
Oh, I know he has more. I know he has more. That's what's even more terrifying. He has more up his sleeve.
Yes.